begin our day, as the psalmist would say, early in the morning, our song will rise to thee. Doesn't necessarily mean by saying early that it needs to be the crack of dawn. It primarily means in prioritization. The first thing I'll do is open my lips and praise Him. So the first thing we'll do corporately today is praise our Lord. And I pray that the rest of the day will be a day of rest and recreation for you. A couple of announcements. I just want to draw your attention that we have this announcement that was in there last time about the Samaritan's Purse. Keep that in prayer. And also that September the 7th event is open to anyone. So if you'd like to go to that, they'll have refreshments and then an opportunity for you to learn more about the different things they're going to be doing this year. Also, in talking to Carolyn, there's still such a heavy demand at Parkview. And we really would like to, if you can bring in next week, any type of soap. You can bring liquid soap, laundry detergent, bars of soap, any type of soap that you need. You can bring anything you want, because she says they need everything. But if you want to focus on something, buy some soap, and let's see if we can help Parkview out. Anything else about that? Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. I'd like to begin with lifting up. We've changed. We had two families last week that had experienced loss, and we have two families now. Let's keep Gail's father in our prayers. We verbally mentioned it last week, but we just want to continue to keep Gail and the whole Van Horns in prayer. She's coming back today, isn't she?
Flying back tonight.
Okay. So let's keep traveling mercies and keep L. Jean in our prayers now. How long were they married, Barry? Long time.
Yeah, 50, 60, 70.
So it's an adjustment for her besides the loss of her husband. So let's keep the whole family, especially L. Jean, in prayer. I also would like you to keep Sally White, Richard's wife. I went down for his passing. Fortunately, was able to have him cognitive and alert on Monday. He told me a joke, and then after the joke, he said, "I guess that's the last joke I'll ever tell." And he was right, because Tuesday morning he passed away. So there's really no family. So keep Sally in prayer as they are adjusting to that. And thank you for the prayers that you gave for my traveling mercies, and it was good to be home. Any other items, prayer, joys, or concerns? Yes, Webb.
Keep Ned in our prayer period. He's in a bad place right now with everything he's got going on.
I know he's not able to work, but is he in the hospital or is he at home?
He's not now. He's at home. He's been running a fever. And, I mean, just to give you an idea, his wife told us, told Carrie, that all day long she's just walking around vacuuming up skin. He pulls his shirt off, his skin just comes with it. And it's a terrible disease that there's no cure for, and he's in the process of, there's help that can be done, but my understanding is it takes a long time of taking what they're going to give him for it to start to work.
So let's keep Ned Atkins in our prayers, and please let him know we're praying. Anyone else in prayer? Yes, Robert.
Let's keep Glenn in prayer.
Glenn Harvey, we didn't put it out, but he went in Friday to get some treatment. He had an infection. They were able to get the infection under control. He looked better by Friday afternoon, early evening when he was released. But he's still extremely tired and weak. Let's keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Let's keep the Bankies in our prayers. The uncle's funeral, George Bell, was yesterday. And then today they're all driving down, including Ms. Dietz, Ann's mom, to spend a week at the beach, all the family. So just pray that it'll be a good week for them. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord and pray. Gracious and most holy and God of all comfort, we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you that you have brought us to life today. May we never take each day and the dawning of each day for granted. For there are many around this globe who didn't even have that privilege this morning. So we're grateful that we were awakened by your grace and met by your mercies, and we open our lips and our mouth will show forth thy grace. We thank you for the freedom in this country to gather openly and publicly to praise your name. And we pray for churches around the globe, and in particular in our country, that they would be faithful in proclaiming the gospel, Christ alone. We also pray that those that serve us would be faithful in seeking to follow the teachings of Christ. For we know the word promises that when that's the case, the people are happy. And may we be joyous following the ethos of Jesus Christ. We pray that the one who shows all comfort, for he has in all ways as we have been tempted and tried, so we serve a compassionate Savior. And we pray that out of your sacred heart, that blessings would flow to those that we've mentioned. We pray that you'd be with L. Jean and the entire Van Horn family. Just draw close and comfort them. Be with any and all logistics that need to be made now in this new chapter. May you close doors that only you can close and open those that need to be opened. We pray the same for Sally as she's adjusting to the loss of Richard. And we pray for the Dietz family in the loss of George Bell. We pray that you would continue to be with those that are in need, that are on our prayer list. We pray for the ones that were mentioned verbally today. We lift up Glenn and Ruth. We lift up Ned. May they be comforted directly from you, strengthened by treatments, and encouraged by your Spirit. We also pray that you would be with the individual or situation that comes to our mind at this time. We thank you that where we see no way, you are the God who makes a way. For truly you are the way, the truth, and the life. And because of that, we pray in confidence in your holy name. Amen. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us away from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the will of the Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. You'll look with me to the insert. We'll use that most familiar friend of the 23rd Psalm, Colonnades to Worship. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 160. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul, and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your
spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord
of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh of hands. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
Verses 30 through 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized him, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
thought that we are truly sheltered, and that is our joy. Grace and peace be unto you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was talking to my daughter, and we were talking about how things change. Food items that you may have liked as a child and you don't like as an adult, or vice versa, or activities or friends, and we got to colors. And I had to say, well, my favorite color has been the same from the very beginning. If you don't know, and really not worth that much knowing my favorite color, but my favorite color is green. And I always thought it was just because I like looking at it, and I like it. Or maybe it's because I'm somewhat colorblind, and it just so happens the colors I don't see, I see as green, or what I think is green. Or maybe it's because as a kid, I listened to my parents playing Tom Jones, "The Green, Green Grass of Home." I don't know, but my favorite color has always been green. This week I did some research and I learned there's scientific support for green being your favorite color. So if your favorite color is not green, I would suggest there's science to show that it ought to be green. It goes all the way back. It's a field of science called visible spectrum. And it goes all the way back to someone you've heard of, Isaac Newton. And he wrote a book in 1671 called Optics. And in that, he coined this phrase of visual spectrum. And what he did is he took all the colors and he divided them into seven spectrums. And you're learning this. And you'll remember, he put it in an acronym, Roy G. Biv. You've heard that.
Yeah.
Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And what he did, and what subsequent scientists have done, is they put a quantified measurement, they call them nanometers, on how each color affected the reception by the eye. In other words, some colors are just not as easy upon the eye. It causes more stress upon the eye. Red and violet. We have phrases like, "I was seeing red." But what, if you remember from your acronym, what color was right in the middle?
Green.
G for green. And what the science showed, bottom line, is that green is the most peaceful and pleasant. It's the most harmonious color. It's the most pleasant and peaceful color. There's also biblical support for having green be your favorite color. The word green, I researched this week, is mentioned 44 times in the Bible. Both Old and New Testament, most are used by Jeremiah. But 44 times the term green is used, and it's always to be fertility or growth or everlasting life. We even speak of evergreen. It speaks to rest and renewal. There's a principle in biblical hermeneutics called the law of first mention. You see how it is mentioned the very first time. And it just so happens that as Moses is summing up the act of creation, guess what color he mentions? In Genesis 1:30, "For all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sea, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he made, and it was alive and very good. And you're thinking, so what? I mean, well, so what about all this green stuff? You can keep liking pink or purple or whatever. Well, it's significant because in our understanding of inspiration, we believe that not only the entirety of the scripture is inspired, but every word is inspired. There's no filler in the scripture. There are no useless words. Everything's important. And green connects two of the most famous and important passages in the scripture. And we read two of them today. The first one is Psalm 23, where it says, which is probably, I would say, the most famous and favorite psalm. And then in the feeding of the 5,000. And I want to remind you that the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Jesus that's mentioned in all four Gospels. It's that significant. And both of them use the term bring, we'll see. And both of them speak to our greatest need. And the greatest need we have is that we need a gentle shepherd to lead us to a place of rest and renewal. A place where our souls and our bodies and our minds can be recreated in the rest that only He provides. I want you to think about it for a minute. Sometimes we read the scripture and we don't think the picture. But we hear a lot, but Jerusalem, if you've ever been there, if you've ever seen pictures, the entire Palestinian area in first century was nothing but mostly a big dirt pile. They only get right at 20 inches of rain a year. And most wherever you go, it's a desert. It's dry and dusty. It's dirty. It's just huge expanses of dry, barren land. Pastures, these green places of rest and these places of refreshment, pastures in a desert are pretty rare. And one of the main purposes that shepherds had was not only to protect the sheep from predators, but was to guide the sheep, was to guide them, to lead them to these green pastures. That's why we read in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me." Mark 6 says basically the same thing, which we heard Jen read. "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. The truth of the matter is, left on our own, left to our own devices, the sheep won't be able to find the rest. They need a shepherd to lead them to those places of renewal. This is why Jeremiah was so critical of the shepherds that were tasked to do that, and they had deserted the sheep. This is why we read in the gospel that when Jesus saw that the people were like sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion. And it's like why we know that left to our own devices, we're really poor at finding places of rest and recreation, aren't we? We're really poor at finding those places. We tend to go from temporary fix to temporary fix. And what we need and what we have is a shepherd who will lead us, if we're allowed, to true rest. Look in the gospel. It's very interesting. People, we don't change. Humans are humans. And the disciples here look just like Adam and Eve in the garden, and they look just like me and you today. And Adam and Eve in the garden, when they lost that eternal peace they had, they lost that rest, that wonderful situation. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did? Do you remember? They tried to fix it. And how did they try to fix it? By coming up with fig leaves. What did the disciples do? They tried to fix it. In verse 37, their solution was to, let's go in town. I guess we're going to go and buy something. I guess there's something we have to do to take care of it. Jesus' solution wasn't go and buy. But if you look in verse 38, Jesus' solution was go and see. Go and see what I'm going to do. Go and see and taste that the Lord is good. And we today, in our attempt to find places of rest and peace, those green sweet spots in life, we think we've got to do something. We've got to go and buy something. And will any of you agree with me that I have a long history of things that I tried to fix and make worse. And I'm probably the only one that will admit that. But that's the human situation. It isn't that we go and buy. It's we go and see. We just watch the Lord. And they sat on green grass and they were fed. And as we read in the gospel and heard read to us, they weren't just fed a minimal amount. They were all, and I love this word, verse 42, look at that word. They were filled to satisfaction. That word is a Greek word, kortazo. And it means to not only fill up, but to fill to overflowing. As we read in Psalm 23, our cup overflows. As we read in the Psalm of Matthew 6, they ate and they ate to their full satisfaction. And they had 12 baskets left over. You said, why 12 baskets? We don't really know. It could be the 12 tribes of Israel. It could be 12 is a symbolic number. You know what I think it was? It's how many disciples were there? 12. So guess what each one of those disciples had to do? Carry a visible reminder of that heavy basket that God can just overwhelmingly and abundantly provide all that we need out of the little we bring. That word satisfaction or chartazo is also used in another place. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, it's used 9 times by the psalmist, speaking of the same thing. The truth of the matter is, we read in Psalm 23, our true rest, our satisfied life, is not something we do. It's a table that God prepares for us, surrounded by everything that troubles us. We don't have to get everything right in life. He is going to prepare a table, he says. And what does he tell us that table is? He tells us the table is prepared in verse 5 of Psalm 23. But in verse 4, he tells us what that table is. What does it say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what reason? For thou art with me. That's the table. Jesus Christ himself, Emmanuel. He goes on to say that, doesn't he? In John 7, the living water that refreshes, the bread of heaven that satisfies. It's nothing but Jesus Christ himself. He is not the one who provides everlasting life for us. He is himself everlasting life. It is not the correcting of life, but it's his presence in all of life that proves to be the only point of satisfaction. I was going to call somebody this morning, and he might have done it, but we already had one solo, so I didn't want to do two solos. So I'm going to close with a song that's probably my favorite, largely because I used to hear my dad singing it a lot. It was written by a guy named Red Hayes back in the 40s. And he was having a conversation with his father-in-law. And his father-in-law asked him a question as they were sitting on the back porch just shooting breeze. He said, you know, you got a new job in the city. Have you met many rich people? He said, oh yeah, I've met a lot of the movers and shakers in town. And he asked his father-in-law, who's the wealthiest man you know? His father-in-law said what became a song that Red Hayes wrote. He said, wealthiest man I know is the man with a satisfied mind. It's been covered by everyone, from Porter Wagner to Ella Fitzgerald, Joan Baez to the Byrds, Glenn Campbell to Dylan. And I think the reason why it's so popular It's our heart's cry. As Lisa's saying, that's your heart's cry. You want a shelter. You want a shelter. You might want to escape. But God loves us too much to allow us to escape. Because if we escaped all the difficulties of life, we would be extremely weak. What He knows, if we go through the difficulties of life being sheltered, we'll not only be strengthened through the process, but we'll be reminded that our only true satisfaction is the ever-living Jesus Christ. The words go like this. How many times have you heard someone say, if I had His money, I could do things my way? Which is interesting. What color is money?
Green.
And isn't it funny? It's sort of ironic that it's green, but it won't satisfy. If I had His money, I'd do things my way, but little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in ten with a satisfied mind. Once I was waiting in fortune and fame, everything I dreamed for, to get a start in life's game. But suddenly it happened. I lost every dime. But I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. Money can't buy back your youth when you're old, or a friend when you're lonely, or a love that's grown cold. The wealthiest person is a pauper at times compared to the man with a satisfied mind. When life is ended, my time has run out. My friends and my loved ones, I'll leave, there's no doubt. But there's one thing for certain when it comes to my time. I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. The only thing I would add to this wonderful song is it exactly true? But we have to confess that we only have a satisfied mind, not because we found it, but because true satisfaction, Jesus Christ broke in and found us and finds us and leads us to that place of rest. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father of mercy, we give you thanks and praise, because we who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. In His flesh He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, and between you and us. He has created in Himself one new humanity and reconciled us to you in one body through the cross. So we gladly thank you, no longer as strangers and aliens, but as citizens with the saints and members of your household, proclaiming with the company of heaven the praise of your glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of peace, you brought again from the dead your Son Jesus Christ and made in him a holy temple where we could be one with you. Send your Spirit upon your people that we may be built together into your dwelling place, as you promised your children that you would build a house to tabernacle and abide with them. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with the disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took cup. Again, he gave you thanks, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Resurrecting and restoring God, your Son had compassion on the crowd, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. As he made the journey across the lake to be with your people in their distress, so you sent him to be incarnate among us and share our human struggle. Bless all who long to touch the fringe of his cloak today. Comfort any who are at sea in body, mind, or spirit. Visit those who rely on others to bring them to you. Strengthen your servants who need to retreat to a deserted place all by themselves and rest a while. Cherish your children who have crossed over the lake to be with you, and give hope to those who stand fearfully on the shore, until the day when healing becomes salvation, and salvation becomes your company, and your company is the fullness of joy. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's one other person that used the word satisfied. It's translated differently, but it has the same complete meaning in most translations. And it was Jesus Christ himself at the apex of his crucifixion when he cried out, "It is finished." It is satisfied. His gift of himself satisfied the wrath of a holy God, taking our wrath upon him. He is the satisfaction when it comes to the demands of God. And he's the complete satisfaction when it comes to the demands of our salvation and our living the abundant life. We need nothing less and we need nothing more. He is our satisfaction. Or as he would say, "I am the bread of heaven given for you." So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body and blood of Christ. He is our Passover lamb. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast. Thank you.
We are well fed, well cared for. We are well. In the midst of a world that would seek to say otherwise, may we not go and do, but go and see what you have said. May we take you at your word, be sheltered by your grace, be upheld by your spirit, and walk in that eternal rest, that everlasting life that you have given to us. In your holy name, amen. Let us close our worship by standing and singing together hymn 454.
Mm-hmm.